podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Jill and Phyllis face off on The Young and the Restless, the Forsters hit Monte Carlo on The Bold and the Beautiful, Sonny returns to Salem on Days of Our Lives, and Maxie's scheme backfires on General Hospital. All this, and Jamie has some news, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hello.
Mike Jubenville, welcome.
Hello.
Sarah Babel, welcome.
Hi there.
Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey, hey.
And Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
Jamie, you announced it on the blog this last week, but you had some news that I want to go into on the podcast because I know it's been, in some respects, a culmination of a dream that you've had from before Daytime Confidential ever existed.
Hulkin? You want a hook?
There you go. You announced that you're co-writing a project for television.
Yes. Well, actually, it's already written. It's being filmed. It is a television movie that is loosely based on Victoria Rowell's novels, The Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva, and The Young and the Ruthless was the name of the second book. Victoria contracted me a while back to work with her on the screenplay. We have worked together previously. As many DC, look, years ago there were these rumors and rumblings in the comments, and I, at that point, contractually could not comment, but, you know, I have served.
And whether or not you're able to comment on it now, I think that the co-writing might be an indication.
Right.
Of it.
You know, I am,
there you
I
go.
I have served as Vicky's co-writer before. I have learned a lot over these last 8 years on and off working with Vicky, and we have had our ups and downs, but it's definitely been up more than down. You know, I saw someone in the comments on DC was like, well, I'm just glad you two could get working together because I remember you had a Twitter fight once. And I'm like, yeah, find anyone who ever worked together on anything. I mean, the Twitter fights I've had with Vicky were minimal compared to what Luke and I went through in the early years of DC. So, you know, it happens. But yes, The Rich and the Ruthless is taking place. It's been a great process coming together. It's loosely based on the novel. It won't, anyone who read the novels and is, you know, tuning in thinking that it's going to be a true adaptation will be shocked because in the novel, the Berenger family, which they own the fictional soap opera, The Rich and the Ruthless, they were white in the book, but Vicky decided they would be black, and so we rolled with that. We changed some things around, and Augustus Berenger is, you know, the patriarch of Daytime's first fictional all-black soap opera producing family. You know, it's kind of like, what was that TV show? 24 had the first black president before there actually was one. So I'm like, okay, maybe we'll speak this into existence and there will be a black Bell family or a black Agnes Nixon to save Daytime. But yeah, it's been a great process. There are a lot of boldface names that are in the cast. Brenda Epperson, Young and the Restless fans will remember her as the second Ashley Abbott, Don Lewis from It's a Different World, one of the leads from Being Mary Jane. Just a great, great project to be involved with, and it wrapped filming in L.A. It is now filming the Jamaica sequences. Vicky made so many, you know, impressive partnerships with Jamaica's TV and tourism board, and you know, got all sorts of great sponsors involved. And just so that everyone who asked me if I was going to Jamaica, I got a call yesterday from Vicky. My flight, my hotel, everything would have been taken care of, but I have a day job and I couldn't get away. So yes, I was like, but I was given the opportunity.
PTO is your friend, yes, my friend.
Well, I have plenty of leave, but my day job is very important. I'll just say that. And I couldn't get away. So yes, but you know, just grinding. I tell you, 8 years ago, when I met Luke, I was taken.
Oh, it's been more than that.
I guess
JB.
It's been about 10 years.
DC is going to be 10 years, and we knew each other for a year or two before that.
Well, when I met Luke,
y'all anniversary was wrong with you.
Jamie wasn't involved with DC right away, so I can cut him some slack.
We ain't hunching, Jillian. It ain't that kind of anniversary.
I didn't say that. You put that there. That was you.
So I was taking all of these courses, and everyone, you know, I took Karen Harris's course in TV writing, and, you know, Luke approached, and he was like, I'm doing a soap opera blog. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm trying to be a...
It was a podcast. I wanted him to be on the
podcast. Well, I didn't want to do either one, because I was like, I want to be a serious writer. And I will say that doing Daytime Confidential, all of the pavement, you know, all of the submitting to the ABC Diversity Writer Program and being told my stories were over the top. And then y'all had all them doppelgangers and everything. But anyway, submitting to that, submitting to the Procter & Gamble writing competition back in the day, and all of that rejection and all of that class taken and all of these, you know, I got every doggone TV writing book that Barnes & Noble could sell. And it's like, I will say this, doing this blog and this podcast helped me leap above and beyond what I was doing on my own. So anybody out there who is dreaming of selling a project, sometimes you just have to become an entrepreneur. You have to stop waiting for somebody to give you the opportunity, and you just have to embrace being a creator. I mean, when I started...
Well, and it wasn't just in television writing. It was also in soap opera journalism.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing with soap opera, with soap opera journalism. I mean, I knew journalism because that's what I went to school in, and I did, you know, newspaper reporting for years before doing this. And so that was the one thing, Luke, and I always butted heads on, because blogging is more about page views and lists. And
now, Jamie, you're giving away our 10-year anniversary episode secrets.
No, I was like, we are gonna
it's in November, and we've got some stuff planned for it.
I was like, we're gonna do journalism here. And, you know, I think it's our, you know, the marriage of Luke's, let's do 45 lists a year, and my, no, we're gonna break news and be, I think it worked well. But, you know.
So you could tell when the ebb and flow of our business relationship happens on the blogs, because when I'm up, there will be more lists. When Jamie's up, there's more interviews. Yeah.
So, but I do have to give a shout out, because another thing you do is you learn from the past. So, I never want, you know, I was that person that was like, I got here on my own. I don't owe anybody anything. But I will say this, another person like Vicky that I've had ups and downs with over the years, but up again, you know, we've been up for a while and we're going to stay up, is Nelson Branco. Nelson Branco was one of the first mainstream journalists to ever, and I know a lot of people out there are now rolling their eyes, because Nelson, people like me and Nelson have people who either love us or hate us, because we can be real, you know, love us or hate us. But, you know, Nelson introduced me to Vicky all those years ago. You know, Nelson was the first mainstream journalist to
recognize
DC Daytime Confidential. And, you know, and that was one of the moments, because I was still like, I'm just going to do this for 6 months. I don't, you know. But Luke was like, I was in Corpus Christi, Texas with my friend Carla, who got married this weekend. Shout out to Carla. She married an older dude. See, get that money, girl. But,
put your friend on blast.
Boy, you just threw your friend under the bus.
I'm waiting for one. Pay me some. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so.
Maybe Jillian was more on point when she was talking about hooking early.
So, hey. Tell you what, I'll never have to worry about SEO again.
There you go.
But, you know, we were, Carla and I were...
Though it might have a different definition.
Carla and I were being real glamorous. We were at TGI Fridays on a Friday.
Ooh, fancy.
I got a text from Luke, TV Guide Canada wrote about us. And at that time, I did not even know there was a TV Guide Canada. But I was like, oh, Lord! So, you know, it, from there to here, it has been quite the ride. And I know sometimes I disappear from DC, but usually when I disappear, it's because I'm doing a project, which the readers know.
Which the readers have picked up on, because I get private messages. It's like, is something going on with Jamie? Last time that Jamie went silent on the blog, there was something going on with Young and the Restless. Well, no, and I'm like, I do not respond to these type of things because this is not my place to respond.
But this time it wasn't like a, you know.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
I was so super busy, I didn't have time.
Yes.
But I'm back. The movie is filming, and it is going to air probably in the fall. And stay tuned to find out where and when and how, what network and all that good stuff. But The Rich and the Ruthless is coming your way.
Well, speaking of coming your way, this last week, Mel, on The Young and the Restless, Jill had it out for Phyllis.
Ooh, can we just talk about how fire those scenes were? And it all played out so soapy. You know what I mean? You got Billy and Phyllis together, sleeping together, and you see Jill come in, and she's kind of trying to figure out what's going on, and she walks in, she sees them together in bed, and she sees and says, I love you too. Oh, I just knew it was going to be on then. So later on, you know, Phyllis leaves, and Jill is waiting for her in her room, and she was like, I want to talk about you sleeping with my son in his bed. I was like, whoo-hoo, yes, it's about to be on now. Yes. So they start getting into it, and Phyllis tried to deny it, and Jill was like, I'm not having it. I know what I saw. I know what my eyes saw. I know what my ears heard, and I am not having none of this. But then they brought in the history of it, because Jill was trying to lay into Phyllis for sleeping with her husband's brother, and Phyllis was like, didn't you do the same thing? I was like, oh, bloop, she sure did. Those scenes were good back in the day too, because they gave John a whole heart attack over that stuff, because remember he had to put the picture together. Okay,
that was Catherine. Dumbass.
Yeah,
but it was good, and it was so good to have Jess Walton back, because she just feels like The Young and the Restless, you know. It's just old school, it's nostalgia, and she still brings the thunder. She brings that fire. Ugh. That was definitely the highlight of the week on The Young and the Restless.
Jillian, last week we hinted on the podcast that the Chancellor Mansion was going to be put back to normal, as it were. What did you think of how that turned out?
Yeah, well, I was dropping those hints on Twitter. I'm glad they did that. You know, like I said, YNR's troll game is strong. They pretty much told, they pretty much let you know, you're not going to do this up in here no more. That prison gray. I'm like, ugh. I'm glad they went there. The little wink, wink, the little nod to Catherine was sweet. And it was good. So for the next person that come there, don't you do it. Don't have no ideas, because they will troll you. That's all I'm going to say.
Forget me not yellow.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sarah, this last week, one of the things that I find is that since I marathon soaps on the weekends, that during the week on Twitter, a lot of things get spoiled. But I saw
binge.
A lot of people.
People call it binge.
People were not happy about Billy versus Kane once again. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I could do without that. I mean, Kane is just a poser as far as it's concerned. I've never accepted, even though I was there for part of it, this relationship. I had no control. I was the bottom of the totem pole, as Jamie can share now that he has had some experience in this area. It's, you know, what you think you can get done when you're on Twitter.
Who signs
talking
the
out.
Check makes the rules, ain't that yep. right, Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah, because I can't find Lynn to do it, so I'm going to blame you, Sarah.
Yeah, go for it. But she, you know, I never really bought that relationship. It was just one of those ways they sort of tried to shoehorn Kane into the show in the same way that, you know, they've done more recently with Dylan and with some other characters. And, you know, I just don't want to see that. I never believe Kane as a great business person, just because he's always just sort of come on like a con artist, whereas cosmetics is in Billy's blood. He grew up in the industry. So there's just never a rivalry I've really cared about. Like, I care about Billy versus Jack. I care about Billy versus the Newmans. Billy versus Victor is great. When Billy and Victoria are at odds, that's great. Kane is the one person I don't care about Billy being in a rivalry with pretty much on the entire show.
Oh, but of course, goodbye.
I got a root for Billy in this case. And I do think, though, I applaud Jill just being cold like that, like getting control of the company sort of, you know, with Kane, just to sort of goad her son into going onto the path that she wants him to be on, because she wants him back with Victoria. She wants him away from Phyllis. She wants, you know, and she sort of sees this as a means to achieving her goals, which is the Jill that we know and love. And the Jill that we know and love, she is not afraid to get her hands dirty, whether it means manipulating some business deals or picking up a paintbrush herself. She gets it done, and Jess Walton is a national treasure, and she should just be on Young and Restless every damn day, as far as I'm concerned.
Preach.
Yeah, or as much as Jess Walton wants to be on it, because I don't know her exact preferences, but that was just fantastic to me. I just wish it were with somebody other than Kane. Hell, I wish if they really wanted to mess things up and go crazy, if Chloe somehow ended up with half interest in it or something, since Liz Hendrickson is kicking butt and taking
fire.
Left
she
right
is.
That is, you know, one petite woman who can, you know, dominate Eric Braeden in a scene. I gotta give her her props where it's due. I like that we find out that, yes, that baby does exist this week, and we don't know whether it's Billy's kid or Kevin's, although I lean strongly towards it being Billy's because that's where the story is.
It's just better soap if it's Billy's. If it's Kevin's, it's just not as good as soap.
It's just, all right, they'll raise it together. Who cares? But, you know, this gives Billy a chance to get his a child back after losing a child. There's so much symmetry. It gives her all this power, and she's got power over Adam because she
can... I don't know. I think with the Billy and this Bella kid, because that's what her name is, it's like once again, Billy got raped into having a kid. You know what I mean? Like, Chelsea done, you know, raped him, and he has little Johnny. And now Chloe, like, I don't know.
Okay, so...
Well, one thing I've noticed, though, since his arrival at The Young and the Restless is that Jason Thompson has spent more time shirtless on YNR than he did on his entire run on General Hospital. Mel, what were you going to say?
Okay, I have this theory.
I never said if it was good or bad.
Well,
I'm just saying it's
a storyline, though. Wait a minute.
Mel's...
Now, I need to ask Jillian a question because I am drawing a blank on that. So, I thought she stole Billy's sperm from
she
a
did.
Hospital.
Yes,
she
to
did.
Me, I
she
said
did.
It's
kind of. But that ain't right
of,
now. We got to clarify.
I mean, I said it's kind of like rape, like, you know, like she forced Billy once again to have a kid.
Dylan's sperm ain't rape, so we want to clarify that.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I was trying to say.
This show has a long legacy of that, though, between Ashley and the various other characters.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm just like, once again, Billy's forced into having a kid, like,
It's that Jill Farron Phelps fairy tale of life that we all need to mourn dead babies and then we all get to have replacement babies. When I don't know the statistics of it, but you know, usually I just wonder how that feels for the audience. I mean, not that Lord knows there are enough returns from the dead in daytime that, but you know, Liz had her replacement baby after, Jake died, didn't she get, with Aiden, but then Jake didn't really die. You know, it's like, I just firmly believe that all of those stories are watering down daytime, but Mal is now in charge and he has to figure out 43 years of this show's history when, let's face it, a lot of the last decade has been a lot of that type of hokey pokey wonky bad soap trope stuff that the other shows have been plagued with for much longer.
And let's be honest,
and at least he's taking an interest, whereas Jill wouldn't even care.
Let's be honest, this one started back with the original regime with Ashley and conceiving,
yes,
you know, stealing
with
Victor's sperm.
Yep.
I mean,
I thought that was a great story, personally.
But what Sarah's
aborted. That was his many years ago. So, I mean, I can't, you know, I'm not going to fault them for going back.
No, I think that, I mean, and that totally made sense to me when Ashley saw that. Because back then, I mean, you wouldn't know it watching the show now because, look, she looks like she'd spit in Victor's eye. But, I mean, that man was the love of her life. And, you know, losing that, aborting that baby. And him, how dare you do that to me? You know, because, of course, Victor Newman... Planned Parenthood is all about him, you know. that was like a defining moment in her young adulthood. I mean, that made Ashley go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Well, first time she went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs was because she found out that her daddy wasn't Mr. Abbott, but it was the tennis instructor because her mama was hoeing. Dina was hoeing. But
Mike,
it's been a lot of things that sent Ashley over the edge. So I could see why she wanted to steal some of Victor's goo and make Abby. And maybe Abby need to steal some goo because she baby crazy now. So maybe
Mike, need to see that.
Mike, what did you think of Adam and Chelsea this last week?
Well, I'm not really sure why they can't figure out that Chloe is the one that's doing this. I mean, it seems kind of silly to me that they're hacking into all these computers, but they can only see the back of this person's head in a prison. I know that they have to do something with Adam. I don't really like that they're doing this. And then Chelsea, I love Missy Claire. I really do. But Chelsea's just becoming a grind to me because she's not doing anything but wringing her hands over Adam, and she's a lot smarter. So I'd kind of like to see her and her mother put their two cents together and figure out that Chloe is doing something.
Adam finds out Monday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But I guess my thing is that, yeah, they need to kind of move this forward. I don't think this is a good thing for Adam. Adam is much smarter than this as well. And I know that I like Justin Hartley. I really do. And I hope he can stick around, because having another Adam come in would be kind of like, here, you know, another change. But I really like the couple together. I still like them. I just need her to have something else to do.
I didn't think that Chelsea was wringing her hands. And if anything, she's being proactive, trying to get that dirt. And then, spoiler alert, you know, next week, Adam figures out that it's Chloe. And he and Chelsea jumps in. Like, Adam has a feeling it's Chloe, and Chelsea is like, I'm going to set that hoe up and find out. And Adam's like, be careful. Like, it's getting back to her grifter days.
Good. That's what I want to see. I feel like YNR overall this week really seemed to right a lot of ships for me. I felt I even enjoyed Lauren going after Kane. I thought that was really good for ditching her, because that was a good detail. So it was nice to see some things that needed to be fixed. I agree with Mel that Jill was definitely the highlight this week. She was so great, and it was nice to see her back on the screen.
Okay, let's talk about Days of Our Lives. Sarah, Sunny's back.
That's good news to me, because that's a character that the audience actually likes and cares about, with an actor the audience actually likes and cares about, who is related to other characters on the show, and who has unfinished business with Paul. So to me, that is very much a good thing. I'll take him over the teens that even Ken Corday is shading now in interviews. I don't know if you read it, but he said they needed to earn their place in the campus.
Ooh, well, you need to blame.
Well, there's spokes on a wheel. Never forget those spokes on a wheel.
Oh, that's different. He need to blame Marnie Saida, because I thought she wasn't working there, but she still is. And I'm like, what happened?
No, but there needs to be clarity on that. So a while back, the Hollywood Reporter did an expose on shows that are doing these sort of you pay to attend casting calls. And anyway, it was brought to my attention by insiders that, and we didn't look, we were falling down on our job, because I remember a day when we'd sniff something like that out. But apparently, down in the article in the fine print where they're mentioning the shows that have been doing this, Days of Our Lives is one of them, that are like basically doing these, you know, you hear them in, you know, y'all hear them on the radio all the time.
No, okay, I'm going to, can I provide some LA perspective on that?
Sure.
Not what those are. These are not the things where, like, you show up at the mall and it's John Robert Powers. These are legitimate things that are common, that people from every television show, major casting offices regularly do depending on the casting director, they are either a legitimate workshop for actors where you get the benefit of learning from an experienced casting director about audition techniques and what they're looking for, just as you would if, for example, you took a writing course from an experienced professional writer at, say, UCLA Extension School, which is something you can do. And this has been going on for years.
Yeah, and I understand all of that. But again, this was an expose from The Hollywood Reporter, the leading Hollywood Bible, basically slamming the way that this they called it pay for play auditions.
Well, and that's true, and that is the thing. Like, a lot of aspiring actors I know lament that they have to pay it, but Days would be unfairly singled out whenever.
Right. No. And you're absolutely right. But since I only mentioned it because we cover Daytime, and it's the only soap that was mentioned in this story. And so, I mean, the lead paragraph talks about critics that say this flouts the law that no one enforces. It's so easy to exploit. So I totally agree with you that it's a common practice because Modern Family is also mentioned. So it's no shade against Days for doing it. But I am saying I'm sure the cream of the crop are going to the code. It says Code Black, Modern Family do this. But, you know, I heard that that might be a reason that we get. Yeah. I'm just going to be flat out blunt here. Some of the worst teen actors we've ever seen in television, you know, in terms of the female leads, especially. Now,
but I mean, these
the
do
guys
not
aren't that much better, but I don't know that she came through this program, but they have been doing this, and this all came on the heels of that big promotional plan for those kids. And, you know, remember those 90210-esque photo shoots? And not a one of them has seriously popped in terms of there's not a Kim Delaney or a. So, and I said, the only reason I said that when Jillian was talking about Marnie is if this is part of the process, if they're farming it out to these, you know, workshops, I don't know. I mean,
no, I'm going to sit there and say that if there's anyone who comes through that the people who get cast from these workshops, it's usually for an under five role in something you don't even notice. They're the waiter handing someone the thing. It's a way, works their way up. Like, Days should not be slammed for this. If these didn't pop, you know, and I will say this, the casting director could bring in, you know, eight great people and, you know, the teams that we got, and other people could have insisted we get the teams that we got, because ultimately the producer makes the casting decision, and if they want someone who has a certain look, and the casting director can say, but so-and-so is so much more talented and experienced and trusty, and then someone from the network is like, nah, but these are going to look cool in these network promos and YouTube and blah, 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 blah. That's
well, I will, yeah, I will give you that. I will give you that you're saying they shouldn't be slammed. But, again, going back to this expose, the paragraph says, these aren't workshops. The actors are perfunctorily told. They're called workshops, and it quotes workshops, a chance for entry level and other actors to show their skills. And it then quotes in the next paragraph the illegalities of the Krikorian Talent Scam Prevention Act. So I'm just saying, Days of Our Lives, among with many other great shows, were mentioned in this expose about this. And these are the kids who have come up after.
And we don't know that any of them came through that program.
No, we don't. But they were cited in this expose. And Days of Our Lives, which is the only soap opera. I'm just doing a correlation here.
Well, it makes you question. Yeah, it makes you question things like the Australian castings and the various other things.
Well, that wouldn't be.
And the other events that they're putting out.
They've done those like. I mean, YNR is doing one of those right now. That's not the same thing. I've tried to keep this specifically on this. There was an expose in the Hollywood Reporter, which I'm assuming did their due diligence.
But I'm just saying that I was like, so what else? This has been going on for decades. It's nothing new. If anything, it's that it's more common now because it's like casting offices have fewer staff because everyone's got the budget cut. And, you know, it's something that's more common for actors to do. But I can also say I know plenty of people who have gotten not in daytime who have gotten great. You know, gotten in front.
Oh yeah, but there's I've taken writing workshops. I mean, here's the thing: we're not saying I'm not alluding that that all casting workshops are like this. This article, if you read this article, it clearly denotes
that article.
It's showing that there is a difference in traditional casting workshops that lead to casting and what they are exposing in this article. They have workshops in quotes. So I'm just saying that when your soap opera is producing some of the worst talent they've had in years. Maybe you should go back to a more traditional way of having a competent casting director finding your talent, especially if you're going to do a huge promo campaign, basically announcing them as the next generation of the show, which Ken did. Ken said he quoted his mother saying that every few years you have to replant the flowers or something like that. And there's weeds in the garden. And then this,
someone needs to use, you know, Roundup on the young cast.
Comes out. So I'm not saying that Days has done anything wrong, but they are mentioned in this article, and it is not a, you know, favorable article.
Mike?
Yes.
Which TV are you watching Days of Our Lives with this week, and what did you think of Deimos?
Well, I actually enjoyed most of the days this week. I kind of loved Sonny being back, but Deimos, the turnaround, again, it's that thing of fixing things. And, you know, Deimos made an offer to Victor to get Maggie out of the wheelchair. That's all positive movement for me. So I'm okay with Deimos kind of changing. I don't want him to change a lot because inherently I think he would be a good villain. So I feel like his overtures may not be completely genuine, but I don't really mind him trying to mend some of the things that he did, because a little over the top mustache twirling does not work. We all know that.
Okay. Jillian, speaking of mustache twirling, what are you thinking of Quinn and Monaco on The Bold and the Beautiful?
Quinn gonna get her old papa. What's wrong with you? She needs loving too. I like it. That's not mustache twirling. Quinn won't get her
well,
old.
Well, she wore her mustache that day at the office. I think that was what Luke was going for.
But oh my God, when that couple
springs a turtle,
when that guy threw up on Quinn, I almost died. I was like, this is funny as hell. I like Quinn going after Eric and doing all this. I find it funny. It makes her, it still brings her back to her roots in a way, but it just makes her a little bit more quirky. You know, she's not cutting people and licking the blood like she did Bill. I thought, okay, you are just nasty. You could get all type of hep, C, B, D, E, and F doing that, you nasty cow. But I don't mind it. I like it. I think it's cool.
Let's hope somebody else likes it too, because did y'all see Bold and the Beautiful's ratings this last cycle? Soap Opera Network published them on last Wednesday for the week of July 18th through the 22nd. And, you know, this scared me, because we're used to, at this point, GH hits an all-time low. GH, Days hits a new low. Days hits another new low. Days says, how low can it go? GH says, you know, so we're used to those two. But you open up the ratings doc, new low for B&B and women 18 to 49 viewers. Ties low in 18 to 49 ratings. New low in 18 to 34 viewing. Ties low, and I mean, this is not, we're not used to this with Bold. And one of the reasons Jillian and I have both heard over the, you know, in our digging around, and that, you know, I mean, it's you know, last year when we were raving about the show, it was, you know, a different family front and center. And now we're back to the Liam and Steffi show, and that, you know, from what I was told or dug around and found out, you know, Brad always seems to think that that triangle formula will spike ratings. Well, here they are, front and center.
I think this will change things, because when you look at the ratings, when he used to play them heavily, they would go up in the ratings. But now it's like they have, like, the tables have turned. So,
and maybe, I mean, and I'm not, no shade, because I love Jackie as Steffi. But there is a missing element to this equation.
She's no hope. She's no hope.
Well, Kim Matula
you
might
have
been the money shot. She might have been the money shot.
You bought Hope.
I think what it is the fact that either Hope or Ivy were both, like, more innocent type characters.
No.
What I'm trying to say is that
Ivy
and Hope both tend
pressure.
To play innocent characters who end up being victims of Steffi or someone else.
Well, and I also think the original formula worked, because you had Hope exactly. as bland, boring girl, you know, whatever, Cricket Blair, you know, 21st century. And then, you know, I don't want to, I want to wait for my wedding night. And then you had Steffi is like, the, I'm going to put on my combat boots and lock you in, you know, a ski, like, ski lift and go and marry Liam's dumbass. And now, like, they've just turned Steffi into Hope. And so because she's not being written true to character, it doesn't work so well. I think that's part of it. And I think people just got tired of it because it became so interchangeable that you're just like, it doesn't mean anything if anyone can just, you know, suddenly if decide that they're in love after two dates or they're getting married in a time frame that's not realistic and you just they're not acting like 21st century Los Angeles residents who are
I'm gonna say, I'm telling you, I'm disappointed in The Bold and the Beautiful because if you look at the news cycle, every day transgender stories remain. Just like they were hot last year when The Bold and the Beautiful brilliantly told that story in conjunction with it, there are more and more stories being told now. I mean, with this bathroom debate, with the political, basically two political parties, you know, divided about, you know, one party has released the most aggressively anti-LGBT rights campaign in the history of American politics. The other party has transgender people on the stage at their convention. And The Bold and the Beautiful's transgender character is bouncing a baby on her knee. You know, there's why isn't she being an activist? We all know how politics and, if anything, the last 2 weeks of conventions have reminded us that politicians, you know, rely on celebrities to help them move their material. If you're Donald Trump, you rely on former Bold and the Beautiful star Kimberlyn Brown and her avocados. If you're Hillary Clinton, you rely on Katy Perry and Shonda Rhimes and every star on Broadway and everyone who has any good sense. But I say that to say B&B is doing nothing with Maya. It's like they did, you know, you can set your clock about Daytime's modern day commitment to gay storytelling. It's like It's so formulaic, it could be like a Harlequin novel. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy and girl have sex, then they fall in love, the end. I mean, it's just like that with the Daytime gay storyline. Popular character comes out, huge praise is heaped on show. Popular character has love interest. There's fear, there's backlash that they're going to lose middle America. Popular character kisses same-sex character, people freak out. At the same time, there's a serial killing, doppelganging, half-monkey space monster that's killing up half the canvas as a serial killer, but they blame the gays that kissed for the ratings, and then you don't see the gays at all. They're backburnered, or they leave town never to be heard of again, or if it's Days of Our Lives, you get strangled to death in an eerily erotic situation. It's like I'm praying we're not going there with Maya because Maya gets no play. When Eric Forrester is getting more nookie and action and life, and you know, now I have to say Eric is the, you know, John McCook is a star on that show and he deserves his
and he
due.
Did have a huge back he was backburnered a lot, so
yeah, I just wish yeah. Brad and Frank over at GH could learn how to actually tell multiple stories at the same time. It can be done. We all on this podcast watch 30-minute shows that have multiple storylines. Friends, yeah. which was very soapy as a sitcom, every week they gave us stories about all six characters. Sometimes they were the same, you know, the two characters were in one story, but they didn't do Rachel and Ross are going to have an arc and we only see Rachel and Ross for 6 months and then we won't see them at all because it's going to be the Monica. Will Monica get a new cooking show arc? I mean, why does it with Bold and the Beautiful and for, like I said, Frank does this at GH too. Why do you have to like play someone so heavy and then we not see them? In the early days of the show, you saw Ridge, versus Thorn for Caroline, and Bill, you know, trying to get at the old man Bill, not this Bill, Bill's daddy, trying to get at Stephanie because he wants to take him away from Eric, and Eric sniffing around Margot. And I just don't know why they can't actually tell, you know, integrated stories all the time instead of, well, we got to tell Maya a lot, and then we're going to backburner Maya, and then, you know, and then now we're going to do Liam, Hope, and Steffi until the wheels fall off.
Jamie, I think you and I both know part of the answer to that is budget cuts, and, like, we can only use X number of characters X times in a cycle, and it's hurting the shows. It is daytime cutting off its own foot. It is, you know, Pennywise and pound foolish.
Girl.
Yeah. I mean, it is all of those things. I cannot prove that that's what it is. Obviously, I don't have access to the line budgets of any of these shows, but that seems to me to be part of what's going on. Either that and, like, all these hiatuses and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, so now, I think we all would agree that even if you have to do that, there is a way you could tell multiple stories at the same time. And there was no backlash against Rick and Maya. The ratings went up. So that's crazy about that.
I don't understand. You know, forget the whole her being a spokesperson. They need to keep it real and raw with real life. They need to have, like, a backlash where, you know, Maya is out with little Lizzie and Rick, and someone hurls a tomato at Maya. It's like, ew.
Well, they did that. You know, they did that, like, one day. Like, she.
They need to keep doing that.
They need to do the bathroom thing.
Like, you could be topical so easily. They're doing, like, they're sending Maya on a tour of all, like, the high-end department stores in America, and one of them is in one of those states where there's this law against it, and there's a bad experience in the bathroom, and, you know, it becomes a big drama. And I mean, you could do it, would be,
or even if Forrester refused to go to that state, they don't even,
yeah,
I mean,
well,
it's,
or
it's
she
not
could,
that
yeah,
way.
She could get arrested, like, she could be in somewhere where I'm probably from here in the South. She goes to the new opening of, you know, look, tie it in with the other show. Fenmore's is opening a new store in Hope, Arkansas, or somewhere. And Maya and Rick travel there for the opening because Fenmore's is doing an exclusive, you know, what's that, California Dreaming?
California,
so she goes,
freedom.
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 California Freedom. I mean, Dreaming was the mamas and the papas. So they go there to do a California Freedom thing. And she gets, you know, she goes to the bathroom thinking nothing of it. And, you know, some, they could even play it for a little bit of humor. You could have a little, a Patrika Darbo type. Aren't you that transgender woman?
Yeah. Or,
and then she gets arrested. And, you know, then Rick and Maya are in God's country somewhere, or and having to fly in the Forrester lawyers, and it becomes a big thing. I mean, there's just so many issues that are being dealt with. It's like, it's
and then she
like
could come back to L.A. and get it from the other side where she's not being activist enough. Like, you could really play the animal.
Oh, exactly. They could bring back her buddy. They could bring back her buddy. What was his name?
Like,
and she could be like, I'm ashamed of you, Maya. You have a, you know, because there is a lot of that. Like, you know, you have a responsibility and you're not doing anything with it.
Because I thought they were going to do something with Chaz instead of this stupid, I'm going to break in because I'm broke. But, you know, I'm a cool.
That made no sense to me why that's what they did with Chaz Bono. I'm like, why is it always, I mean, I get, we've all heard, I mean, you know, Brad's dad wanted to make Catherine Chancellor have a lesbian affair and had to shy away because of the state of the world at that time. And, you know, Mike Horton was supposed to be gay on days and didn't get to, and then his nephew Will did years later. But it's like, it's 2016. 2016 is so similar to 1968 when, well, you know, not, well, there are so many parallels to when Agnes Nixon launched her two soaps in 68 and 70, One Life and All My Children. And to great success, she looked at what was going on in the world, the Vietnam War, the fight for abortion, and all of those things. Those shows wouldn't have lived long enough to get a Brian Franz to cancel them had she not put them on the map and, you know, major TV critics were covering what she was doing with those shows. When you're doing stories about passing for black and a woman fighting for her son not to go to the Vietnam War and the wealthy old Phoebe being, you know, a conservative and fighting for the war. And, you know, this world is going freaking crazy right now. And daytime is not really dealing with that. And you have a character like Maya who brilliantly dealt with it last year, and then you're doing nothing with her. That makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
I think, I think with this, with the recent rating plunge, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Brad ice those characters and try to freshen things up, because I was always told by insiders that when in doubt, that was Brad's go-to because it spiked the ratings. And now fans and viewers are telling him no with the ratings drop. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of Maya and Thomas and Caroline and so forth on the front burner, and that whole Liam Steffi Wyatt thing gets put on ice. I don't know anything, but that's just me.
Speaking of Caroline, Mel, this last week, her and Ridge came to an end.
I feel like it was something that just had to happen at this point, especially with everything that's gone down with the baby and Thomas and all of that. And I'm just like, you know what? It was time for it to come to an end. And we all knew, I think, you know, when it first happened, it wasn't going to be a forever thing. You knew it wasn't. And I was surprised they even got married, to be honest. So I was like, I'm not really.
We didn't know it when we saw the other Ridge. Caroline!
See? You see what I did with a scarf?
You got a tattoo for your auntie.
But yeah, and I felt like the scenes were really good. They were both strong in the scenes, and it came to an end the way it should. So I was good with it.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. I know Maxie isn't your favorite character, but what did you think of the Maxie, Nathan, and Claudette storyline this last week?
I'd like to not think about it. I mean, boy, they have taken something that could have been maybe decent in a triangle that has really no interest at all. But they have turned it into such an obvious, not even entertaining thing at all. So no, I didn't care. I don't know. I don't like it. I mean, I like Bree. She's fine, but I don't like the character. She has no point. There's no point of her being there.
Mike sounds like he's talking about liverwurst. I don't like it. I don't like it. No.
I don't like
no.
it.
No. 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 Like your mama's trying to get you to eat. No. No. I don't like it.
You like some spinach with that, Mike.
No.
Jillian, how are your ride and die couple going?
Who is my ride or die couple?
Rob and Black Channel.
I'm like, huh? That ain't anyway. A couple, but whatever. Well, you know, Jason bust through that chair. You know, I'm like, Helena got cheap ass furniture because he bust through that chair like,
Super Jay strikes again.
Yeah, I whooped the shit out of that that guard. It was cool. I mean, I was more interested in the Valentine thing, you know, with him busting caps and people left, right, and center, and him disappearing. And I just wondered whose bones are that inside the passageway. If that is GH's way of trying to bring Tony Geary back, I'm going to put it on.
That's what I was afraid of.
White Walker.
No, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I hope that it's not Luke,
Alexis
because...
mama.
That better be, because look at him.
It's probably Stavros.
No.
Stavros wouldn't have decomposed to the bones. Look, he was just
well,
that.
He might have been eaten.
He was just that, acting like, just a few years ago, he was acting like he was performing in the Rocky Horror Picture Show with Lulu.
Well, speaking of Lulu, Mel, I'm almost afraid to ask.
I'm a Transylvanian cast and I'm going to
see you. What do you think of our intrepid Lulu, Mel?
to be fair, Stavros has always been hammy, even the first guy that played him. So yeah, I guess
like to look at Robert Kelker Kelly, okay?
I had to get put on hydrochlorothiazide and lisinopril, every blood pressure pill.
Is there something you want to tell us, baby?
Every blood pressure pill. No demand with all the ham and cheese that was going on.
Mel, what did you think of our intrepid Lulu this last week in the tunnels?
Oh my gosh,
Lois Lane, our intrepid Lulu.
Well, this is just classic Lulu.
Very, you know, this isn't my dad. No, wait, this is my dad. Oh my gosh, it's a bracelet and an earring. No, it can't be my dad. What if it is my dad? I don't know what to do. And the whole time I'm going, can we just go back to Porn-Castadine so I can see what's going on there? And Kevin just got shot, so I really want to know what's going on there, too. I don't want to know anything about this. So then they finally, you know, get out of Castadine Mansion. We waiting for Jason and Sam to come, and they doing hoosiery on Kevin. And Lulu's all, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. And they find that girl who lives on the island, and she's, you know, I don't know Helena. I don't know Poinstas Castle. I don't know any of these people, but I can get you antibiotics and medicine and a first aid kit. And Lulu's like, no, where do you live? I got a letter from there. I'm like, okay.
I cry foul.
Yeah, I don't trust her neither.
No, well, besides that, because you see, Ava was like, I don't trust that hoe. Don't believe her. Ava's the smartest one of the bunch with that. I cry foul with Gene and Shelley and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whoever else in that writer's room. I cry foul because Castadine Island has never had any other occupants living down the street.
The Greek, if you follow finances, the Greeks have fallen on hard times. So just like on Downton Abbey, how they had to start letting the paupers come near, maybe Helena and them had to build some condos down the road.
I don't cry that. I cry foul at that.
The Greek economy.
The WSB is probably putting up retirement homes there.
The Greek economy has had some problems. So Helena and them, it might be a Cabrini Green over there. They just might call it Athena Green. They might have some projects down the road. Look, they had to take the ice princess, she now the ice duchess, okay? they ain't got that money like that. That's why Nicholas stealing diamonds like he's some damn. Like he's
no,
some,
that should not be happening.
Like
we're not going to
Selena Kyle running
he
around.
He had to have his money in the Greek economy.
No.
That's another.
That is not in continuity of the show.
Well, forget that.
Ain't in continuity? Did it loop that up? Froze the world on this show. Continuity.
No, I'm talking about Nicholas
Forget that. My thing is, what did he sign over to Valentine? Hey, Nicholas, bro, what the hell you signing over to him? Your bad credit?
He real estate rich. That's all he is. He's real estate rich. He just like, I'm telling you, this is like Downton Abbey. Nicholas needs to, instead of marrying all these tartlets, he needs to go marry a wealthy. See, let me tell you.
And that would be a good story.
Would be. Nicholas should be trying to marry who? Serena Baldwin, because she is what? An heiress. That is what all royals do when they don't have nothing left but castles and jewelry. Yep. They go marry a rich American heiress so that, and then because they're like, ooh, you get to be Duchess of Cornfuck. And then it's like, oh, okay. You know, that's the whole plot of Downton
Abbey.
And
that would be kind of good.
Well, and that,
yeah,
that
and
would
if, by the way,
good, so.
If Nicholas had found a Quartermain woman and wooed her instead of all this ELQ stuff, I think we'd have all been a lot happier.
Well, Sarah, I wanted to ask you about something that does not
make
you...
Put me in, coach. Put me in. I can show you what Emily couldn't.
No, Sarah, a couple podcasts ago, we discussed the... Sarah, a couple podcasts ago, we discussed the whole topic of Franco and Liz. And this last week, I put a poll up about it, and you and I were sort of outvoted. So far, 63% of the people like Franco and Liz. What are you thinking of their inching towards each other and their date this week?
Here's the deal. You know, you and I are not the experts. We're just two voices. If this is what America wants and this is what will help the show, then I will support it as a overall General Hospital fan, I mean, the problem is you've got two actors who, frankly, have decent chemistry, even though the storyline makes no sense. I think everyone wants Becky Hurst to get a storyline where she is, you know, the person who is truly loved as opposed to the person who gets rejected. So from that standpoint, I can see it. And they have pulled out all the stops where they make him, like, good with the kid and, you know, the new Franco and all this. I just really wish that they had just brought Roger Howarth back as someone, anyone other than Franco, and that person could be with Liz. I mean, they could have been a long-lost Quartermain. He could have been Valentine. He could have been
Senior.
No, he couldn't hunch up. He was a Hardy.
He could have been absolutely anybody, and I would have accepted it more than Franco, because Franco was designed to be a short-term, truly evil, like, comic book-style supervillain, and not a long-term, sustainable character. So, you know, but obviously, I respect the overall audience's, you know, desire to see something different than I do. Certainly isn't the first time. And I think Becky Hurst's fans, they are loud, they are proud, and they have their girls back, and they know she needs to be on the front burner and on a soap. That means you need to have a love interest. And unfortunately, this is who she's got right now. Maybe.
That's why I always roll my eyes anytime anyone, because yes, in human nature, sometimes you need to be alone to reboot. But whenever I see that for a soap opera, well, this character, they just need to be alone to redefine themselves. I'm like, you want them off the show? Because if you ain't getting hunched on a soap opera, you are about to be at the kitchen table.
I think it depends on who the person is, too. Like, Sharon needs to be alone for a minute. Like,
Sharon needs to be back with Nick. They need to shore that show back up. They need to go ahead and blow this paternity. And then Nick needs to mean mug. How could you do this to me? Shit. And, you know, we have 2 weeks of that. And then it'd be the anniversary of Kathy's, you know, 6 month death, because I think they have that girl anniversary every 6 months, and then do the prerequisite scene. Ooh, Cassie.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, Cassie. And then Nick show up. Oh, I didn't expect to find you here too, even though it's the same day we always come here when Cassie be dead and stuff. Oh, Nicholas, when I think back to all those years, and when my mama was rolling around on your daddy's foot because he was being mean to me, and then when you broke that girl's neck in the water. I didn't break nobody's neck. I know, but Chuck said you did. And we done been flawless. And I know I done some crazy shit, but mostly that was because Maria Arena Bell started it. But I just want to be back with you, Nicholas. And then put them together and shore it up. Just shore it up. They just need to be together. Anyway, when you get that old on a soap opera, your time is up for after all the starts and stops. Nicholas and Sharon need to get back together and be married and dealing with their kids doing a bunch of crazy after all the starts and stops and, you know, running and trying to help Maria and the Mariah and Noah and Summer. That type of shit. Summer need to switch some babies and have the bipolar and all of that stuff. It's time out for Sharon doing that. Sharon is 45 years old. Get somewhere and sit down.
Mel, I want to cover two things real quick before we wrap the podcast. One of them I want to ask you about, and then I'm going to Mike. What did you think of, all of a sudden I can't think of her name, Christina and Sunny having the talk about her being interested in women?
You know, it went really well. Because I didn't, right? She all up in it and around it. Okay.
Interested. That's what the kids call it now. You interested.
Know, we've always seen, you know, Sunny, you know, try to be very accepting and open of his children. And I like the way the conversation went down, because Christina was very afraid. She didn't know how it was going to turn out. She didn't want to kind of say everything. And she kind of, you know, put her head down and looked at him like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm gay or not, but I know I really like this woman. But I don't want you to disown me because, you know, I do love you. And he was like, well, why didn't you just tell me all that? You was all scared for no reason. Like, just be upfront and honest with me. And he didn't, you know, go crazy. He didn't overreact. He was just being a good, loving, caring father. And I like to see that from Sonny, because, you know, most of the time we see Sonny, he shoots somebody in the back of the head, making some kind of threats.
Shoots his son and his wife.
You know, I can't believe
that. Okay. That whole shit of ducks. I don't
know.
Mike, wait.
So, Christina would be this scared of a daddy who has children by everybody in town and a mama who has children by everybody else in town. I wonder why she was so afraid.
Mike, I want to go to you for the final topic. I'm giving you the last word just because I know how much you love her. Heather Weber.
Yeah, of course I loved Heather Weber. And I like the twist with Naomi, but I find it funny that Heather is actually engaged with her son about her potentially dating Liz, because I don't remember Heather having warm, fuzzy feelings about Liz at all. But I enjoyed that Naomi is trying to get one up on Heather. Like, Heather can look at you and you're going to die. So if you think you're going to make Heather's life a little bit more miserable, I think she's going to be in for a rude awakening. But it was a nice twist to see her show up there. And I kind of figured that Raymond was the guy that helped her invest the money and all that other stuff. But it was great. Love Heather. And I like that she's toned down just a wee bit.
Okay. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. I would also encourage people to go and subscribe to us on iTunes. Write us a review. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.